Ah, beautiful sunny day in shitty New York. The big snowstorm from yesterday has calmed down. Still snow everywhere, but it's not snowing. And it's always nice when snow first falls. I mean, that's realistically the case everywhere. Back in Canada, that was very noticeable. You know, the snow would fall and it's like, ah, that's pretty. That's like a movie or some shit. And then it would hang around too long and get all gross and dirty and cars driving around. The majority of winter in Canada is a filthy, fucking horrible time. But in New York, wow, this is nice because less snow in general. This is a lot more rare that there is snow. And there's a lot more shit to cover up. So it seems extra pretty. Nice and sunny and pretty out today. See, I'm positive sometimes. I'm gonna play a song from The Prodigy. I fell right into that trap. Like, I mean, I never tried too hard to fight against the mainstream. But yeah, when The Prodigy got real big with, I never really got the Firestarter thing. That was a huge single for them, and it's just not that good of a song. Let's all be honest here. But Breathe, I thought was really, really cool. So from there, I got into that album, Fat of the Land, and then went back to Jilted Generation, and then back even further to Prodigy Experience. And Experience was like, it was just flat out happy fucking, you know, fucking glow stick around your fucking neck pacifier fucking ravey super happy horse shit. Like, just ridiculous. But I really liked it. It made me happy. And this was back in like 96, 97, before the internet took over the world. I mean, nowadays you want to listen to every Prodigy song ever made. Just go type in Prodigy discography and you're fucking laughing. Not the case back then. So we went on our last big family trip to Florida. So I was like 16 or 17. It was like before my mom was like, we should go now while we still can as a family, because pretty soon your kids will move out and we won't be able to do this anymore. Little did she know, I was not going to move out for at least 3 more years. When did I move out? Yeah, it's about right. Anyway, while we were out in Florida, it was a really fun trip in general, and I bought a shitload of Prodigy singles, because, you know, they'd have these, like, huge, like, borders and gigantic stores with giant, like, whole floors of records, which was unheard of for my little hometown. So I got shitloads of singles, and I think that they, at least for a while, the Prodigy was in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most number of singles on the charts at once, because the record label re-released all their old singles when they had the big hit with Fat of the Land. And I was one of the throng that made that happen. But I remember I didn't have a CD player on the trip, so that was weird. It's like I had all these albums and it's like just dying to listen to them. And I could not until I got home. But there was a bunch of cool shit in there. It's still to this day really the only electronic band I really like. I can kind of get into some other ones here and again, but The Prodigy is the one in all of their different incarnations and in all their different styles that it's just the only one I could really get into. So after Fat of the Land, they had this huge, long, took forever for them to put out their next album, like forever. I was out in Vancouver by the time it finally came out. It was one of the last CDs I think I remember buying, actually. Not the last, but one of. And they just put out another one that, I don't know, I think they finally, you know, the thrall has disappeared. I'm not huge into it. But this first single, gotta admit, it's just fucking fun to listen to. It's called Invaders Must Die. And it just seems appropriate to this sunny, sunny mid-morning. Maybe I'll go dig up some of their old shit too. Remember there was this one song called, like, G-Force Part 2, if I remember right, that I used to really dig. Maybe I'll play that now, maybe I'll work it in later. Who the fuck knows? We will see. Invaders Must Die. We are the Prodigy. So in general, I've been feeling a lot better lately. Ever since my big fucking fuck New York crazy rant show, I'm just feeling a lot more comfortable in my own skin than I have in ages. And I even predicted during that show that I was gonna have times when I slid back, and that's the case. But I'm surprised how long it doesn't last, you know? Even if I get real down, I can kind of fucking whip my way out of it, kind of inflate myself back up like a pufferfish. I'm like shocked. It's almost like a superpower that I didn't realize that I had. Like, I just kind of got stuck in this rut where to get all fucking deep on you. I mean, we're all obviously only here for one fucking time around this fucking earth. And who knows what random shit you get dealt. Where you get born, what kind of person you are intrinsically, what kind of skills and things, you know, you have. And really, I could be doing a lot fucking worse. Like, I just kind of forgot how able I am and how many different skills I've got and how much potential I've got that I'm just kind of sitting on. And it's good to have that back to remember that shit. So every once in a while, I still kind of... Oh, almost slipped. I still kind of just want to roll into a ball and play a bunch of fucking Elliott Smith songs. But it only lasts, I don't know, like 20 minutes. And I can just kind of... I don't know, I kind of got to push myself too far to get back to normal. Just into this kind of manic headspace. But I'm sure that's just... It's just because it's a transitional period, getting my head back together. But yeah, I'm feeling much more comfortable with myself. Like, I don't know, I went through this period out here where just to, like, I'd be sitting at my computer working on shit, and just to go fucking make a bowl of cereal or go to the bathroom, it's like, all right, now I gotta put on my fucking MP3 player and listen to a podcast for the 2 minutes that it's gonna take to go do this, because I just don't want to be alone with my brain. It was getting a little fucking ridiculous out here. It's nice to have it fucking getting back to normal, getting back to how I'm supposed to be. And there's just all these little signs, like, just, I don't know. I can't remember the last time I just made dumb poses in front of a mirror, you know, like I'm an action figure. I was doing it this morning without even realizing I was doing it, you know? It's just like, hey, I'm just took a shower. Now let's flex. Now let's, you know, just whatever, just act stupid in front of a mirror. And I was thinking how I'm glad my roommate Newsy is Newsy 2.0, where he decided not to, he had this sordid past of planting cameras and stuff around his old apartments and getting, like, video of his roommate's dicks and stuff, being a stately homo as he is. And I was thinking how if he had a camera in there today, I wouldn't give a shit if he saw my dick. I'm fine with my dick. But it would be embarrassing to see me doing my action poses. But I don't know, it seems like weird to me that I just stopped doing dumb shit like that. It's just like, man. Or singing. I remember, well, I've gone through like little, I don't know, ups and downs out here, obviously. But I remember last April 15th, of course, Keith Malley's birthday, when he does his stand-up show. It's like the big time for me, when I'd always come to New York before to visit and always had a really fun time. And, yeah, I mean, real fast after moving to New York, I was like, this is sucking. But I kind of whipped myself back together, at least for a little while, for last April 15th, and that's a big sign. I just remember singing to myself a lot more. Because that's my normal way. That's how it's supposed to be. And it's just weird that it wasn't. I don't think it's a coincidence that when I first met Ian, I was in a really good mood for like a few weeks. Almost like I tricked her. Because then I kind of fell into a funk. And it's probably no fun at all for a while. Anyway, let's listen to a song. Ah, here's a good one. This is a Ween song from Quebec called Transdermal Celebration that I know I played before way back in the day. But this is the demo. I got a bunch of Ween demos the other day. And Ween is this band that has just got too much stuff for me to keep track of. Way too much. But what Ween I do know has got some fucking gems. And this is a fucking keen song. So here's some demo action. Transdermal Celebration by Ween. Kind of a rough demo. If you don't already know that song, probably that didn't sound so good. But luckily, I'm not fucking picking songs to make you happy, whoever you are. So when I listen back, it'll make me happy. I was thinking that I'm really glad I was born when I was born. Just because it seems like the further back in time you go, the less music there is that I like. I was just listening to a show about the history of Kraftwerk, which means power plant in German, which sounds significantly cooler than Kraftwerk. And, man, their early shit was, 1975, and it's remarkably similar to, Daft Punk. It's, a lot simpler, but it's, you strip down Daft Punk and that same repeaty shit and just, like one sentence repeated over and over as the lyrics. There you go, 1975. That's fucking crazy. I could see being into that back then, because what else was there like that? Nothing. And you can really find some, all of our kind of alternative rock of today. It's surprising how far back you can go and still find shit that is sort of like White Stripes and that type of shit. You can go back pretty far. But by the time you get back to, the 50s, say, what would there possibly be for me to listen to? Then you go back further than that, forget about it, you know? It's because as much of a music fan as I am, I don't just like music, you know? It's all kinds of music I don't give two fucks about. It just seems weird that, like, what if that would just be cut off to me? Or would I just develop different tastes? Would I think that horseshit was good? Hard to say. Man, I've really gotten to the point where this is like a really crowded little sidewalk. Tons of people that I'm walking by, and I just don't fucking give a shit. So what if I'm talking to myself? Who fucking cares? Fuck this dumb town. I don't care what you think of me, New York. You know, that's definitely something about being kind of down in the dumps or not doing action poses, say. It's like it's almost like an embarrassment to be happy. Now, I mean, it can go too far. Really fucking chipper, constantly hyper people make me fucking nuts. But yeah, there's definitely, an unwillingness to just to display how you're feeling. Just to be open. Even if it is that you're feeling good. It's weird. You can get stuck in this, like, weird morass. Let's find another song. Let's play another Ween demo.
I recall a time when we were lovers. Before you I hadn't any other. But when the bad times came along, I turned and you had gone from the start. I loved you, I was wrong. Falling out, it's the end, may as well have never been. Chips are all cashed in. You won't see me again. Don't consider me a friend. Falling out, look away, it's the end. Always thought of you as my big brother. Never knew we couldn't trust each other.
Chips are all cashed in there, ding, ding, ding. You won't see me again. Don't consider me your friend. Falling out, look away, it's the end. Man, that is a catchy fucking tune. I think it's impossible to fucking listen to that song for me not to sing along. Even if I am surrounded by goddamn people. Getting a little too crowded for comfort though. I think I'm gonna turn down a little side street here. Oh, plus I'm about to get on the goddamn train. Fuck. I don't know how I'm going to record on there. Maybe I won't be able to. Stuck sitting in a tube with a bunch of fucking dicks. You know, those demos definitely don't sound as good as the originals, but it's just a good excuse to listen to those songs again. You know, I just found out the other day that, that movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, hardly made a lick of goddamn sense, but it was a really good movie. And the music in it was great. Tons of this old... So maybe that's a good example of maybe even back then I could have found music that I liked. Because there's a lot of good music in that movie. And it's all way old fucking I don't know what you call it, field recordings of music from the turn of the century. And I knew that, but I thought that the main song, Man of Constant Sorrow, was new. I didn't realize that was also an old fucking ball song. But I just found out the other day that it was. So I went and did a little search and found a bunch of different people who did different versions of it. Bob Dylan, apparently, famously covered it for a while. But the one that I ended up liking the most was Rod Stewart in some old band he was in. Does a cover of this song. And it's fucking nice. And who can forget, of course, Maggie May. Fuck it, let's play that too. That's another fucking good song. It's like amazing that Rod Stewart, you know, you just think of like, Do You Think I'm Sexy? Just like reprehensible, god-awful, fucking stupid song. But he had some cool shit. Although a nice example of my particular cultural milieu is my favorite memory of Maggie May is when it gets played at the end of what the fuck was that movie called? The one about the dog boys in Z-Town. Lords of Dogtown. Which didn't exactly set the world on fire, but I liked it. I thought that was a pretty good movie. I watched it again a couple of years ago. It holds up pretty well. And Heath Ledger plays this guy named Skip England? I can't remember the guy's exact name. But he kind of took his, he owned a surf shop. And he put together the original Dogtown team and really, they got really famous for a little while. And then it all kind of, he mismanaged things and it all fell apart. And he just ended up not even owning the shop that he used to own, just being an employee working there. And that's how the movie ends for Skip. Is he's just in the back of his old shop working on somebody's surfboard. And there's a part where he's like working on the board and kind of stops, you know, just sort of taking stock of how his life has kind of gotten a little fucked up. And I liked how there's a part he picks up this like bottle of rum, but it's not the like he looks at it and then puts it down. He looks at it and takes a drink. I thought that was kind of cool. It's like he sort of realizes this could be trouble, but fuck it, I ain't done yet. And Maggie May comes on the radio and he just goes back to working on the fucking surfboard because you just gotta keep on keeping on, motherfucker. So let's have a Rod Stewart double pack.
I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my day. I say goodbye to Colorado, where I was born and probably raised. Your mother says I'm a stranger. My face you'll never see no more. But there's one promise, darling. I see you on God's golden shore. Through this open world I'm about to ramble. Through ice, snow, sleet and rain. I'm about to rob the morning railroad. Perhaps I'll die on that train. I'm going back to Colorado. That I started from. If I'd known how bad you treat me, honey, I never would have come. September and I read keep you amused, but I feel I'm being used. Oh, Maggie, I couldn't have tried anymore. You led me away from home just to save you from being alone. You stole my heart, and that's what really hurts. The morning sun, when it's in turned into a lover, and mother, what a lover, you wore me out. All you did was wreck my bed, and in the morning kick me in the head. Oh, Maggie, I couldn't have tried anymore. You led me away from home, 'cause you didn't wanna be alone. You stole my heart, I couldn't leave you if I tried.
I just did an interview with Jesse Joyce, for my DVD extra that I'm working on for Keith's DVD. Basically just people blabbing about Keith's stand-up. Should be good. Jesse's an extra good one to have because of his unique take on Keith's validity as a comic. You know, Astoria is not too bad of an area of Queens. It's kind of nice. I don't hate it here. So I think now that it's still sunny out, just had a coffee, feeling fairly awake, I think I gotta go find a comic store and see if I can find Scott Pilgrim Volume 5 that I heard is out. 'Cause I love me some Scott Pilgrim. Oh, just got some water on my forehead, but not on my recorder, so that's cool. So as I make my way back to the train, I gotta decide what comic store to go to. There's like a big fancy pants one near Grand Central Station that's all, I don't know, they gotta go up an elevator, but it's all like hyper expensive fancy pants statues, gay superhero comics. I think that I am gonna try to make it to St. Mark's Place and then go to the indie fucking too precious for its own good comic store. Or maybe there's a really famous one, Forbidden Planet, is that what it's called? By the big bookstore, the Strand. Anyway, that's some boring rambling. Let's play a song. I'm gonna play a song by Gomez. I haven't kept up on Gomez lately, but I used to really like them. This was like that little golden era where MP3s and stuff actually really did help sell albums. 'Cause they sure don't anymore. That battle's been lost. Nobody buys albums anymore. I guess it's transitioning pretty well into iTunes and stuff, but But I remember I heard a couple of Gomez singles on Much Music, saw some videos, so I jumped on Napster to see what I could find, and I found this song called Devil Will Ride. It's the very last song from their second album, and I was like, fuck man, I like that song. So it made me, it inspired me to go out and buy that CD for like $22, because it's Canada and CDs are insanely overpriced then and now. But this is a cool song. My main memory of this is, this is back when I still had a tape player, or like, well, I stuck with my Walkman a long time, longer than I needed to, just because I liked it. I liked the whole ritual of putting in a tape and everything about it. I even like the sound of a tape rewinding, or how you can hear the leader. And, you know, when the batteries start wearing down and everything slows down a little bit. I was just into the retroness of tapes. So much so that I would dub CDs onto cassette just to listen to them on my Walkman. So I remember specifically, I used to listen to this Gomez album and the second Busta Rhymes album for whatever reason. It's another thing, I'm not really into rap music, but same way with like The Prodigy. Just find these one or two people in whatever genre that I dig, even though I don't care for the genre in general. I really liked Busta Rhymes' second album. But I would go to the little convenience store near my house, get one of these little fake cappuccino things that's really just fucking sugar water. Like, it's not... When I learned what a real cappuccino was and how it tastes, I was shocked, because this stuff is just hot chocolate, basically. You know, you get out of the little machine where you just press the button and it pumps out. So I'd go grab one of those and then walk around my neighborhood back home near my mom's house real late at night. And there's an elementary school near there, so, you know, it's like 11 at night or something. The place is deserted, so I could just go swing on the swings, which is just fun to do as a grown-up, because, or however old I was, 19 or so at the time. And, yeah, just blast my fucking Walkman tape player, all kind of caffeined up on this hot chocolatey shit. And I definitely remember this song was just a really good one to swing to. So this is Devil Will Ride by Gomez.
If you will, devil may ride. Invitation makes you feel fly. If you will, devil may ride. When the invitation makes you feel fly. If you will, devil may ride.
Makes you feel fly. over my when the conversation turned to a war. And everybody wants a good time. Yeah. And everybody wants a good time. It's a good time. Not even the Royal American delivered us from what we got into. Yes, it's bye bye, baby, bye bye. Yes, it's bye bye, baby, bye
Man, that is so fucked up. I noticed on the way out to Jesse's place, I was riding the 7 train. I used to complain a lot about the 7 train. I didn't realize how good I had it. Just the fact that it's above ground. It's actually nice compared to the other. Once I started taking the other subway lines more, I used to hate the 7 because it was so slow and you can never catch an express. But being up above ground and having windows and being able to see the sun and birds flying by and shit, very fucking nice. Whereas now, I was just on the R coming into Manhattan. And I just started kind of feeling bad. And I was like, man, what is this all about? Trying to do some self-diagnosis. I was like, man, I don't know what it did. I mean, I just went and interviewed Jesse, and it went really good. And it's going to be cool for the DVD bonus. And like, what reason do I have to kind of feel down now? Post-interview? What the fuck? But I think it's just that I was fucking underground. Underground in that awful subway, because now I'm at Union Square. What time is it now? It's like 2:30 in the afternoon. Nice and sunny and bright out, and like literally the fucking second I go up those stairs and get outside, I feel fine again. It always reminds me of that line from Firefly when they're transporting a bunch of cattle in their spaceship. And they get them onto the planet and let them out. And then, like, I guess they say something about how the cows are docile when they're in the ship because they can't see the sun, they don't know where they are, they just kind of go into hibernate mode. And then when they get back out into the world, they see the sky and they see the sun and they remember that they're cows, you know, they remember what they are. And that's so, so awesome. So fucking true to all fucking life on this earth. Ah, I hate those subways. I hate them. They're so shitty. Ah. But I'm out in the sun now. I'm gonna go get some comic books. This is out of place, but I'm back at home now editing this ham radio together, and I just put in a song that I didn't introduce when I was out in the world, so I'll do that now. It's this band called Plumtree, and that's the song Scott Pilgrim, and that's where Brian Lee O'Malley got the name Scott Pilgrim from. And even though they're an East Coast band from Nova Scotia, I never knew that band. I never heard of them, but I was just looking them up a little, and apparently they were like 15, 16 years old when they started that band. And they toured around for like, I don't know, 6, 7 years. And apparently were like, you know, a little bit middling Canada famous. But then a couple of the people from that band relocated to Vancouver. And they're in a band called Bon Tempe. And I did see that band just by coincidence. I saw them when I was in Vancouver. And that's just so cool. Just the way these things connect. Just the Scott Pilgrim song from the East Coast, but then even out on the West Coast, I saw this band, I know of this stuff, and I just love the connections of Canada, you know? It's a whole fucking country, but it all just connects so easily. I fucking love it. America, you can take your gigantic fucking population and go fuck yourself. So here's a Bon Tempe song. This is called Diabolic. just saw another guy talking to himself. Maybe it was a phone, but I don't think so. I think he's reciting something, dictaphone style. Anyway, just went to the first place, Forbidden Planet. They were all sold out. No Scott Pilgrims. So I'm heading to the place at St. Mark's, but it is just suddenly making me realize, I mean, I could just order this fucking thing. I could just go order it online and it would show up at my house like magic. And I mean, I did. I worked at a comic store for years. I would like to support comic stores, but man, I don't know, the world's changing. It's just, you can just fucking order shit like magic. You can also download comic books, but I'll steal music any day, but I won't steal comic books just because I don't like reading them on a computer. You gotta have that shit in book form, as far as I'm concerned. You gotta have it in your hands. It's important. And there are not many comics I read these days. Just Scott Pilgrim. It's weird how that's changed, where I almost feel like a weird, I don't know, failed hipster. Like, hey, now that there's a Scott Pilgrim movie coming out with Michael Cera in it, oh, I gotta go read Scott Pilgrim. But I was like, man, I was in on the ground floor with this shit. I heard of Brian O'Malley way back. I knew who he was before Scott Pilgrim started. But, you know, that's lame. First off, how could you ever explain that to someone? And who would care? Who would give a shit about my comic book elitism? That is like the lamest, nerdiest shit. But it still runs through my head. If you notice on Keith's DVD, Point Counterpoint, I'm wearing a Scott Pilgrim t-shirt. And in the year before that, Happy to Serve You, I was wearing it also, but it's underneath my shirt. I'm wearing like a collared shirt. But you can see the green t-shirt underneath. I wore it both years. It's my lucky t-shirt. I still have it, but it's got like holes and shit. It's getting old. Anyway, the idea of ordering things online, also just in my continued obsession with how cheap consumer products have become and how you can just live behind the curve of technology. I don't know how fucking boring this is to other people, but I find this kind of thing fascinating. This little MP3 player I got for $20, that's like a little chip clip, little teeny thing, it finally broke, and I liked it so much that I went back to the store, but they didn't have any left. So I had to search all over because I couldn't remember the brand name or what the thing was called, and none of the other, like, you know, you can get all kinds of cheap crappy MP3 players, but I really wanted this specific kind. It's like this little clip that's just, I just loved it. Finally, I found a guy on eBay that's got like 89 of them for $15, including shipping. And it just showed up today, and like, that's so cool, because not only was that cheaper than going to the store, I also didn't have to go to the store. And it's like, for $15, you got a 1 gig, little teeny tiny MP3 player, and it comes with headphones and a whole package and a little USB cord and documentation. All of these like extraneous extras that you don't really need. So I was thinking, I didn't really think this through all the way, but the idea of selling books on tape or books on CD is already antiquated. In a way, it's totally antiquated anyway. You can just sell downloads or not sell them, just give them away for free. But if you wanted to sell something, that would just be so cool if you could get in bulk. I mean, if they can sell this thing for $15, shipping included, and make some kind of profit, then if you could get a bunch of these little tiny 1 gig MP3 players, or smaller, you know, in bulk, and crack them open and put on your book or whatever you're selling, and then repackage it in something cool, like, I don't know what. I remember people used to have little sort of soft silk pouches for their dice and stuff. If you played Dungeons & Dragons as a kid and you wanted to be fancy with your dice, I don't know, something like that, I don't know what, but load up one of these little MP3 players, repackage it somehow fancy, sell it. I could totally see that. That's super feasible. It's just so, so fucking cool, man. I love the future. The present. The present is the future. The future is now. This is where we exist. Can the future supply me with a Scott Pilgrim comic book? Stay tuned.
I'm sick of you.
No dice, all sold out. But they were very friendly at both those comic stores, so I still give those comic stores thumbs up. And this one, particularly in St. Mark's, it was really good. I don't know, it is exactly the kind of store I like. You know, weird, obscure comics more so than superhero shit. I mean, there's still that, of course, but just never into that stuff. So there's still some places around here, but they'd all be, you know, big, corporate-y, bookstore-type places. That, you know, what am I supporting? Fuck that. Now maybe I will just order it online. And I couldn't help but break out the, I used to work at a comic store. I haven't said that one in forever, but I just haven't been to comic stores in this town. I can't help it. Yeah, so I guess we can, now we have a common frame of reference, we can chat, because you work at a comic store and I used to work at a comic store. I'm the worst. Nerd. Fucking nerd. I gotta play another song. What song do I want to listen to? I don't know. I gotta find a fucking song, man. I'm a lot like my dad, who would have to say he's been wearing a beard ever since Mom passed away. She would have hated it. Inspiring, he likes to go to church to hear the choir sing Roses and Blue Jays. Winter comes, game over, he's in the driveway removing snow with a flamethrower. Drives a hard bargain, knows how to get the deals. Spring fever hits, he needs a new set of wheels. Every year it never fails. Roaming around in his hometown, beachcombing Roses and Blue Jays, I'm a lot like my father. He knows he should go to work, but sometimes he doesn't bother. Reads books of every sort, gets all the news he needs from the weather report. The door stays open a few days and closes. What's more important than Blue Jays and roses? Son of a gun, the old man is something else. In addition to being a bullfighter and magician, he's a lazy river, a slow-moving train. Future Hall of Famer, playing through the pain. He's a grizzly bear. And do you know one time he even saw a UFO? My dad's favorite things are roses and blue. I would say we're the same, more than a few ways. We're full of beans and big ideas. Cause I can't sleep, I'm not sure why he is. Wide awake and off to the races. Out of gas and lost in space. So full of beans and big ideas. Cause I can't sleep, I'm not sure why he is. Wide awake and off to the races. Out of gas and lost in space. Did you know the Main Street station on the 7 train actually has bathrooms? Oh, that's almost kind of like a joke. It's got fetid fucking cesspools, but you can go in there and piss. Nice to know. Because a lot of my fucking traveling in New York is kind of predicated on how far I can make it before I gotta piss. My early mental map of Vancouver was highly based on where I could find a bathroom. But man, New York is way too fucking big. And I live way too fucking far away. I'm finally back in my home burb. Like a 20-minute walk from home. But it's 4:30, man. Just to hop into town and look for a goddamn comic book and grab something to eat. Like 2 goddamn hours. Ridiculous. I'm starting to run out of gas. Of course, I've been up since 6 in the fucking morning, but fucking people everywhere. Just want to talk to myself in peace. Christ. So that was Roses and Blue Jays that I played by Buck 65. Nice East Coast Canadian fella. That's a pretty little ditty. But now let's torque it up. Let's fucking ramp it up a little for this walk home. Punk rock walk. This is a song I haven't played since the very first edition of Ham Radio. This is a song by the Adolescents called Kids of the Black Hole. They were a hardcore punk band, the early 80s. Where was this? Somewhere in California, I think, this particular sect of people. Not the New York guys, not the DC guys. And there were a bunch of people that all stayed in the same house. It was called the Black Hole. I really like early 80s hardcore punk as a movement. It's fucking amazing. There's a documentary about it that I watched the other day. And then I ordered the book that the documentary was based on. I'm reading that right now. Ian MacKay is one of my favorites. The dude from Minor Threat started the straight edge movement. It's kind of inadvertently he started it. Where you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't have casual sex. It is like a weird, like, way of the monk type shit. But he himself is he's a really kind of cool, relaxed dude, considering he was the fucking sort of, you'd expect him to be like a zealot. Maybe he was more when he was 20 years old. Younger, I think, when he started that shit. But now as a grown-up, it's really, it's cool to see his interviews and stuff. I like him. You know, he's got some vegetarian-y style, you know, social, what do you call that shit? I don't know, annoying ideals, I guess, but he doesn't harp on them, he doesn't preach on them. He just seems like a cool dude. But the documentary about the hardcore punk shit, it was cool to watch because it's got clips from the shows, and the shows are really what that shit was all about. And what has echoed into when I was going to punk shows. You know, it's the 20 years later echo of what those hardcore punk shows were in the early 80s. Although they turned into, like, some crazy ultra-violent fucking nonsense. I'm definitely aware that the shit I went to was a lot more pussy. And I got no problem with that. I got elbowed in the face, but, you know, I don't need to go to the fucking hospital because I went to a punk show. Shit got retarded. But it was the shows that were exciting. So seeing the old video footage was cool. But then I got the soundtrack. And it's a tough fucking listen, man. Hardcore punk is awesome in theory. Not always awesome in practice. But this song, Kids of the Black Hole. This thing is like fucking so fucking good. It's kind of long for a punk song. It's like 5 minutes. But this is just a fucking... Man, just so good. So simple. Although it's kind of complicated for a punk song, but simple for a song. But got such a good build to it, and it's just, man, this is like so fucking cool. So, Kids of the Black Hole, punk rock walk. I'm walking home in a punk rock fucking shit. Hey, ha, whoa, ha.
No sound is heard from Unit 2, where there was once so much to do. It was once a green mansion, and now it's a wasteland. Our days of reckless fun are through.
days. Nights of pride. The nights of endless drinking. The nights of violence. The nights of noise. The nights I had to ever good. Tonight I understood by the girls and boys.
Now, this is a good one. This is Mr. Bungle, Mike Patton's band. It was in before Faith No More. Sadly broken up now. Their second album, Disco Volante, was for years my favorite album. It's all fucking weird, but it's really cool. This is from their third album, California. See, Mike Patton has this crazy vocal range. When he talks, just his normal speaking voice, it's a little... It's not high-pitched, but it's a little more on the high-pitched side than how he usually sings. He tends to go for the growls and crazy noises and the low, smooth tones. But the album that really made him a big name, Faith No More is the Real Thing, he had this really high-pitched, sort of little in the nasally side way of singing. And in some ways, that was a vocal style of its time. The album came out in like 89. But I always really liked it. I liked that way that he sang. And I was sort of disappointed as a young man that in the later Faith No More stuff, he switched up the style so much. But every once in a while, he kind of... It's still not quite the same, but he breaks out his kind of higher register style of singing. And he does it on this song. This is called Vanity Fair, I think. And as far as I can tell, it's about a guy cutting his own dick off. But it's a fucking catchy tune. This was this final Mr. Bungle album, California, was the most accessible, I would say, if I was a music critic. It's a lot easier to swallow than the other Mr. Bungle stuff. Has some downright smooth tunes. And this is one of those. Fucking catchy, cool shit.
You're not human, you're a miracle. A creature with an animal. And you're sexy, neon smoke screen. Like a super salesman of vanity. Even your shadow worships you. In your jungle falling to. With the orgies of the sacrament. And the seal of pageant. You know God's able to save this thing from above.
how I made it.
Here's a song that I like. This is, I downloaded the demos for the Blind Melon album Soup the other day. Soup was pretty inconsistent. It was a little 50-50. But the good songs are real good. They actually put out an album like last year with a new singer. But I don't know. I was never enough into Blind Melon to give a fuck that they now have a new singer and a new album. Fucking 15 years later. But for the record, they do. This is the demo of a song called 2x4 that I always liked a lot from this album. And I'm also going to play from the first album this song called Dear Old Dad that I was just catching up on Old Man Ward's podcast. He played it. And man, it is such a fucking good song. I was rocking the fuck out to this song this morning. Air guitaring the shit out of the fucking air. I really think, like, Dear Old Dad, for instance, nothing against No Rain. No Rain is a fucking catchy song. I mean, if it's going to be their one-hit wonder hit, I mean, it deserves it. But I think Dear Old Dad is as good of a song. Easy. No problem. Oh, and I think I forgot to mention why 2x4, I think, is an appropriate song. Man, I wonder if it's going to be noticeable when I get out of this town and start recording shows elsewhere that it's not so goddamn loud all the time. All the time, everywhere I go. Low-flying airplanes, fucking construction, goddamn buses and traffic and people everywhere. Fuck! Anyway, this song 2x4 starts with him saying that he's been talking to himself more. Because I've been talking to myself more lately, doing these shows. Blind Melon right now.
See that soon.
am almost home. So let's round up these little doggies with one more Mr. Bungle song. So this is a song from Disco Volante, my favorite Mr. Bungle album. For a span of years, my favorite album. But this is a demo. This is a song called Mamishka Morshkwaz that I always thought it would just be awesome for a car chase scene in a movie. I don't know, it's like, this is like a movie soundtrack song, but from like a fucked up Indian movie or something. But what I extra like about this demo is Mike Patton. I'm listening to it right now. I love this song, man. I fucking love this. He like kind of loses the tempo or the rhythm, or he sort of fucks up and he just kind of gives up. He's like, ah, fuck this. Who fucking cares? It's just a demo. So his weird ass singing just devolves into fucked up swearing and like, oh, this song is a piece of shit. And it's fucking great. So here's some rough ass demo, super crazy Arabic, Indian, foreign movie, car chase, swearing music.
You don't do this to a fucking singer!
Damn, tortures of the damned. Tortures of the damned. That's me. Me. Tortures of the damned. I'll see you in hell, fuck. Come on, shit! I'll fuck you out, and then I'll fucking shit my fart! And then the turd will come and shit the fart out of the poo! Hey! Hey! Come on, shitty! Shitty, fatty, fucky! Yeah! Let's do that shit! You like that fucking shit! Farty, fart, fart, fartin'! Out of my balls! That's the shit, man!